summer of 1837, the American ship, the Morrison, sailed into Yeddo Bay, Japan. On board were three men hoping to be the first Christian missionaries in Japan. But the powerful Satsuma clan opened fire on the Western ship and drove it away. Not until 1859, and after a treaty with Japan, were missionaries allowed to enter the country. That year, seven missionaries, representing four mission societies, began their work. I do wonder if any of them knew how God would bless their work so that now Japan sends many Christian missionaries to other lands, including America. This story about the ship Morrison is an example of how the kingdom of God grows. This morning, our gospel contains two parables, growth parables. Essentially, they are very much the same. In the first parable, the farmer scatters the seeds and goes about his business every day and every night until the seeds sprout and grow. It makes no difference that the farmer is awake or asleep. In the second parable, we find our familiar tiny mustard seed. It grows to become one of the largest shrubs in the garden. The shrub attracts birds, a place to build their nests. The birds will feed on the tiny seeds and will rest there as well. Our two parables indeed have that same message. The message is about growth. The growth written in Mark's gospel today is that of a mysterious power of the kingdom of God that is always present. This kingdom is God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And the power in the kingdom solely belongs to God. Have you ever planted a garden in your backyard? I remember my father's garden. He built raised garden beds and filled them with soil and fertilizer and tended to them very carefully. In the spring, I always looked forward to going out back with Dad and helping him prepare the soil. He taught me how to dig the little troughs between the rows where the seeds and the plants would be placed. Mostly, we planted vegetables, and if the farmer's almanac said that it was going to be a good season for growing strawberries, strawberries were planted as well. I remember that my father always started the seeds in the very, very early spring in small little cups. The green beans were the first ones to sprout. Then came the radishes, the tomatoes, and last but not least, the zucchini. We always had plenty of zucchini until the end of fall and the beginning of winter. As each of these different vegetable seedlings were ready, we would start planting. It took several days to get everything done as we planted when Dad came home from work. I waited and waited for those vegetables to grow. Just like the verse in the book of James, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters. See how the Lord's coming. The farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and patiently wait for the autumn and spring rains." So I guess that God was using me to help plant the seeds, but the rest was in his hands. I eagerly waited for the harvest to grow and ripen. So in the first parable, the grain is spread throughout the field. In the second parable, a single seed is planted in the garden. Both these situations demonstrate that the power of growth is not in the farmer, and it certainly was never in me. I stood by and watched and waited. As we read in the Gospel of Mark, When planted, it grows. God just happens to do that. The growth will happen all by itself. It sure is good that God is always faithful and that God is always dependable, so that when the seed is planted, it grows. Can you imagine that Mark is comparing the kingdom of God to that little mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds in the world? But that's what God's kingdom is like. How can something so big, like the kingdom, be compared to something so small? Seeds can be very powerful. Have you ever walked along a sidewalk and noticed a sprout growing through the pavement or growing through the concrete? It seems impossible. Have you ever noticed a small tree branch growing in the gutter of a very old home? It's amazing how and where things grow. It brings to mind the story about Johnny Appleseed. Did you know that there was really a Johnny Appleseed? His name was Jonathan Chapman. Around 1801, when Jonathan was about 26 years old, he was on the shores of Licking Creek, Ohio. Jonathan was planting apple seeds. Some years later, he was seen navigating west along the Ohio River. His boat was made of two canoes simply lashed together. What was his cargo? Yep, apple seeds. A gentleman named W.D. Haley chronicled Chapman's life. Haley said that Chapman's whole purpose in life was to plant orchards on the farthest edge of the pioneer settlements in America. There was great danger in that wilderness. There were wars and hostilities that were part of the new American West. Chapman planted apple seeds. I wonder what made him do that. I wonder who was that guy that just kept planting everything. Why did he keep doing it? Haley writes that it is a parable of sorts, but the Son of Man is like that, with a graceful compulsion and a compulsion filled with grace for his people. That's Jesus. The Son of Man keeps sowing the seed. Think about that for a minute. Did you ever think of Jesus as a sower? The Son of Man is like an eccentric planter, and the kingdom of God, the church even, is like the orchard planted. That's what Haley wrote in Harper's New Monthly magazine many, many years ago. There are many more parables in the Bible, but the ones that we are most familiar with are the ones that are found in our Gospels. Just as Jesus used parables to teach his disciples and others about the kingdom of God, he teaches us, his disciples, about the kingdom of God. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way to Jerusalem, we are taught about the humbleness of God's kingdom. As Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem, he was on a donkey. He teaches his disciples and he teaches us that the greatest is not the one who rules, but the one who serves. Jesus, our King, makes his place on the cross for us. An author writes that Jesus embodied a kingdom of power in weakness, a kingdom of greatness in meekness. So even when people die for no apparent good reason, God's kingdom is still busy healing. There's a story in the Bible about a woman who is bent over. An evil spirit has kept her this way for many, many years. Jesus simply touches her. She stood up straight and began to praise God. That's the kingdom. There is a contemporary story told about a particular combat helicopter pilot. There was a war in a foreign country. The pilot was flying a routine patrol over a village. He saw from the air a group of his own men attacking dozens of unarmed villagers. The villagers included women and children and the elderly. The pilot gathered as much courage as he possibly could and landed the helicopter right between his fellow soldiers and the remaining civilians. He pointed his guns at his own countrymen and ordered them to stop attacking these helpless people. Then he called for other helicopters to come and take the wounded villagers to the nearest medical tent. He saved many, many lives that day with his courageous action. That courageous action is in the parables that Jesus taught his disciples and those that we read in our Gospels. So here we have two stories, one in the time of Jesus' ministry and another from more recent history, our history. There are many stories of acts of bravery and heroism and compassion, just like these stories. We can see things like this happening, though, in our own church. If the seeds fall or are planted in good soil, they will grow. Our church knows who it is and knows its purpose. Our church continually grows. The seed of St. George Episcopal Church in the villages of Florida is to proclaim by word and action the healing love and good news of God in Christ. Sometimes, though, we cannot see it grow, but other times we can. This morning is an example of seeing God's kingdom grow. When people pray for one another and sing together and learn together and listen to the word of God together, the seed is growing. It continues to grow because Christ is the sower of the seed. The church, as one author puts it, becomes something like a Johnny gospel seed. The members are like the orchard planting eccentrics who, for the sower's sake, keep planting orchards of faith and hope and love. He continues to write that they continue sowing hope through, though cynicism may be very strong, they continue sowing love, though some are content with less. They continue sowing faith and hope and love in spite of the birds picking at the seeds and in spite of the rocks and the thorns. They keep sowing. The kingdom of God is like that. So let's take our mustard seeds and our apple seeds, our bean seeds, our strawberry plants, and continue to plant them because God tells us it will grow. The words of an old familiar hymn come to my mind. Almighty God, your word is cast like seed into the ground. Now let the dew of heaven descend, the righteous fruits abound. Let not the foe of Christ and man this so holy seed remove, but give it root in every heart to bring forth fruits of love. Let not the world's deceitful cares the rising plant destroyed, but let it yield 100-fold the fruits of peace and joy. Amen.